Smog is blanketing parts of South Asia, including the Indian capital, New Delhi. As NPR's Dia Hadid reports, it is making people sick and has triggered a ban on a beloved street snack.
Over blaring patriotic music, Sanjeev Kapoor says his eyes are stinging. It hurts to breathe. He feeds his four kids through the tips he makes taking photos of tourists at the India Gate, a soaring monument to the war dead. It's barely visible through the morning smog. Clean air activists call winter the smog season, when the cold air near the ground traps emissions from cars, factories and power plants. It makes South Asia the world's most polluted region, according to the University of Chicago's Energy Policy Institute. Even by those standards, New Delhi is superlatively bad. Folks here lose an estimated 8 years of their life expectancy to air pollution. Tourist photographer Kapoor has no choice but to keep breathing it in. He says, "We don't eat if I don't work." Air pollution has wide-ranging impacts, like on pregnant women. They're more likely to miscarry, have smaller babies, have their babies die. But those impacts are hard for people to immediately connect to the smog. So people like Babita Gupta says she doesn't think it's a problem.
Good morning.
We meet her in a park on a smoggy day. She's singing a Bollywood tune with her husband. Gupta says, "I'm happy singing in the park. That's good for my health."
We can fairly confidently say that the government has failed the citizens.
Sunil Dahia is a clean air activist. He says authorities didn't take serious measures to curb emissions ahead of the expected smog season. The local government blames their predecessors and says it will take years to clean up the dirty air. As pollution becomes more extreme, authorities are imposing measures, like ordering some workers to stay home to keep their cars off the road. Delhi residents joke that other measures seem intended to deny them their small pleasures, like a ban on coal-fired grills that street-side vendors use to cook kebabs. In a Delhi bazaar, one vendor, Wissam, says he's switched to gas. It's not the same. He nods to a vendor across the alley who's defying the ban. Men crowd around his kebabs, crackling over the coals. Jawad Youssef, 31, scoops up a $1 plate of char-grilled meat with his fingers. He says banning coal-fired grills is picking on the little guy. It's hardly causing the blanketing smog. But he'll eat a less tasty kebab if it helps clean up the air and his lungs. After this juicy char-grilled kebab. Dia Hadid, NPR News, New Delhi.
This is a busy time of year for any store that sells candles, especially scented ones. The global candle market is huge, worth billions of dollars, according to the National Candle Association. The group also says that more than a third of all yearly candle sales happen over the holidays. But the industry's peak season is burning a little differently this year because of tariffs. NPR's Henry Larson reports.
Fersan Jaeger is a former NASA physicist who now runs the District Candle Lab.
We have like a wall of fragrances here. That's like 64 fragrances.
A shop where people can make their own scented candles for about $50 a pop.
So there is the woody family, there is the fruity family, there is citrus.
If you want to get into the scented candle game, you need three things: jars, wax, and fragrance. All three have been affected by tariffs this year. And Jaeger says that's made things harder for her business.
Going into November and December, a lot of our raw material was out of stock. And for many candle businesses like mine, holiday season is the peak of what we're going to sell.
The first thing in her candle operation to be hit by extra duties? Jars, the things that hold the candle wax and the fragrances. Jaeger gets hers from overseas because they're cheaper, but they cost more now.
Candle jars are probably the most expensive component of the whole process because they're heavy, because shipping costs a lot.
In February, the Trump administration placed tariffs on Canadian and Mexican products, including candle containers. Chinese containers got stuck with the tariff as well. But those duties later changed, and then changed again, meaning the price for retailers kept changing too.
Imagine you as a consumer coming to a candle store And one day your candle is $50, the next day it's $65, the next day it's $52. That is also not sustainable, and you wouldn't want to go to that business anymore.
And small businesses aren't the only ones affected by the president's trade policies. Kathy Levanier is CEO of Renegade Candles, a company that manufactures candles for retailers across the country. She says duties on fragrances have proven to be the most burdensome.
They're not just something that we can get in the United States. We don't grow all the various crops that are required for all those beautiful scent components. We've had to do a little bit of cost increasing and retail increasing in candles to make up for that. So that has been the toughest thing I think we've managed this year.
Jaeger, the local business owner, buys her fragrances from U.S.-based laboratories.
Cuban tobacco is a really nice one. I do like the smoked vanilla whiskey. This is one of our best sellers.
But she says U.S. labs still use foreign plants and chemicals, so their prices are up too. Another tariff casualty this year is soybeans. Jaeger uses American-grown soy in her candle wax. And the price of that commodity has fluctuated a lot this year as well, as the trade war between the U.S. and China ramped up. Even the most devoted consumers are feeling the heat. Ashley Welbrock practices law in Boston during working hours, but she's also something of a candle fanatic.
All in all, in this apartment, there's maybe like 120 candles in total. It sounds insane, but I say it. I know it is.
Welbrock says she's noticed prices are on the rise. That means she's thinking about tapering off her candle purchases in the new year.
Even somewhere like Canada now, where it was like a buying from Etsy shops or whatever it may be out of the country now, I'm like, oh, do I want to do this? Because am I going to get hit with a tariff bill when it comes in?
Levanier, the national manufacturing CEO, says luxury candles and budget candle makers have been able to absorb some of the cost increases. Demand is still high in those areas. But products in the middle of the spectrum aren't doing as well.
I think people have shifted around their buying behavior and what they're selecting to buy a bit.
And in Washington, D.C., candle store owner Farzan Jaeger is feeling the economic uncertainty, but she's also not letting it get the better of her.
It is a decent holiday season. It's hard to explain. It feels a little bit uneasy.
Henry Larson, NPR News.